Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Ministry is just serving. You look for where there's a need. You look for someone that has a need. And so you go to help them. All of us should be ministering. All of us should be serving. We should look for opportunities that people have to be able to meet the needs that are there.
In the body of Christ, we have all been given gifts. Gifts to use for others and to further God's kingdom. God blesses each of us with certain gifts. They all involve serving. And as we're about to study in Romans chapter 12, there are certain gifts that we should all be using to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. With Romans 12, 6 through 8, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Open up your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12. We get to talk about spiritual gifts today. I want you guys to consider before we even get started what your spiritual gift might be. Does the idea of having a spiritual gift scare you? Does it scare you to go out and use the gifts that God's given you? I hope by the end of the study that you are not scared of what God might be asking you to do. Maybe you would even be eager to find out what God has for you. All right? So with that said, let's pray. Let's ask God to bless this Bible study. Father, thank you for your word. It is rich. It is deep. It is meaningful. It is powerful. It is profound. It is life-changing. It is trustworthy. It is our authority. We want to rightly divide it, and we want to live what is in it, that we might be able to please you and live our lives so others can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. We pray that you would bless this study. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The blowgun I received as a present became the bane of the staff at Calvary Tucson. I was given it by a guy that attends the church still to this day, and his name is Bob. I won't give you his last name, but he gave me the gift out of the blue. It was not a special occasion. He just gave me the gift. And in the middle of it was a square and a long tube. I didn't know what it was. I've told you guys already what it was, but I didn't know what it was. And when I opened it up, I found a target that I used because I officed at that time out of the West Campus. I was surrounded by my books. I had bookshelves full of them. There's still bookshelves that are there. But back then when I got this blowgun, I couldn't go on the internet and study things. You had to get books out. And I had tags on them and little cards like a library that I would go and find illustrations and things that I've read to be able to share during the studies. But a blowgun is incredibly accurate. I put up that little target and I went all the way across my office, which is a pretty good throw. And I would shoot that dart out into that target. And with just a couple of tries, I got pretty good. The target's still in the same place it is now. We haven't redone the wall, so you can count how many holes are in the wall behind it, if there are any, for the ones that I missed. Or in the bookshelf that it's on, you might look down underneath it to find it. But with the blowgun came a packet of blunts, orange blunts. And that's what harassed the staff. In the office, I would leave the door open, and right outside of the office was a room we use for accounting now, but we used it as a conference room back then. We had a table where the staff would gather together, and I would be in my office studying with my door open. And when one of the staff would make their way, Paul or one of the other pastors that I really wanted to get, I would slowly pick that blowgun up, put in that blunt, and poof, and it was better when I didn't hit him. Because it would hit the wall and they'd flinch, they'd jump, then they'd, oh geez, and then they'd get out of the way of the door. They knew if they got in the way of the door, they could find themselves with the blowgun. I enjoyed that gift. When I opened it up, I was excited about it. When I began to use it, I was excited about it. When I harassed my staff, I was excited about it. I'm excited thinking about it today, even though I don't know where it's at. It's gone. Someone took it. Can you imagine? Somebody stole it. Now, I've been given gifts that I don't really like. Have you? Have you opened up a gift that someone's really excited to give you, and you open it up and you go, oh. And inevitably they say, do you like it? And you have to say, yeah. You have the high yeah. Yeah, I like it, yeah. And they know immediately you don't like it because the high yeah means you don't like it. What are you gonna do with a chia pet? They're like excited for you to water it and put it up on your bookshelf or whatever it is. And you're like, what am I gonna do with that? Well, a lot of us feel that way about spiritual gifts. As we talk about spiritual gifts, you wonder, When am I going to hear? What kind of things does God want me to do? And how am I going to use it? Would you be surprised to find out that I believe that you'll be as excited to use your spiritual gift when we're done today as I was to get that blowgun as a gift from somebody? And it fit my personality so well to harass people. And God has gifts for you that you are going to hear about today that I believe are going to excite you, that are going to encourage you to be used by God. The interesting thing about gifts is that they're things that every one of us do, but some people are gifted in it. Like, for example, we were just led in worship. The song I came into had a little country flair to it. I don't know about you, but I kind of like that. I wish we would do more of that. I wish we would have an all-out country night is what I wish. We just sing country worship songs to the Lord. I think that would just be a wonderful thing. But they have such gifts to be able to lead us. I watched our drummer as she drummed tonight. What a gift that is and how excited she is. All of us can drum. You ever gotten drumsticks? Put them on top of a counter and start just drumming with them a little bit. All of us can do that. All of us can sing. You're thinking right now, no, I can't. Yeah, you can. You sing at some point. You have sung, but you might not be gifted at it. That's the way the gifts are. All of us are to do every one of the gifts, but some are gifted in them. You're able to excel in these gifts. And I want to encourage you to find the gift that you excel in. And I want to encourage you to use all of these gifts, to understand that all of them are to be used in each one of our lives. Paul said, as each one of you in 1 Peter 4:10, as each one of you has received a gift, minister that gift to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Stewardship. God's given you the gift. You have been given the gift as if you were given a stewardship. Now you want to use that gift to be able to bless others as good stewards of the grace that God has given you. And I'm excited to see what God might stir in your heart tonight as we begin to look at these different gifts. Now, this is our third week in this passage. It's our third week talking about these gifts. So we've taken our time. We've talked about prophecy and we use that example. All I want to say about prophecy today is that prophecy is the gift that can be used and anonymously, not out front. I can prophesy to you while I'm teaching. I believe that God has laid on my heart messages to give you. And when that happens, I believe it is a prophecy that God has for you. You can be given a word of encouragement for someone that is a prophecy. You could send a text to someone that is a scripture that God might have laid on your heart. And what amazes me is when I get a text from somebody that just says, thinking about you, and they send me a scripture, the scripture is almost always something I need. It's like God knows. It's almost like the gift of knowledge that's operating. They're able to reach out and encourage and strengthen by encouraging someone with words that God has given us. The Bible says that we are to prophesy encouragement to one another, that we would use this in a way that God would bless those around us. And we want to do it in a positive way. There's times to bring a word that's tough. There's time to bring words that are difficult. But for the most part, most of us need to hear good things. Most of us need to be encouraged, as we're going to see as we make our way through that. The second gift that we've covered so far is the gift of ministry. And here is my example that you can be used by God in every one of these gifts. You can be used by God because you can read a scripture and then you can encourage someone in a certain situation with the scripture. And so that's like the gift of prophecy. You're using the word of God to speak to them. You're speaking for God by speaking a scripture you have learned that you give them. And in ministry, ministry is just serving. You look for where there's a need. You look for someone that has a need. And so you go to help them. All of us should be ministering. All of us should be serving. We should look for opportunities that people have to be able to meet the needs that are there. We should be meeting the needs of our Sunday school, meeting the needs of different ministries within the church, coming alongside of maybe the team that sets up chairs when chairs need to be set up, or whatever it might be. But some of you guys excel in ministry. Some of you guys have the gift of helps. And I don't know if there's a difference between the gift of helps and the gift of ministry, but I know people who are gifted in helps. They want to do things for people They love to open a door for somebody more than anything else. They want to race people to the door and open up the door for them. They just want to serve. And may you want to serve and really minister to the people around you, because that's the root of the word ministry, is servant. A minister is a servant. And that's why we as pastors are supposed to be servants to the people that we serve. So that's the second one that we have looked at. The third one that we want to look at, and we've already looked at, is teaching. Teaching is the same thing. All of us have taught. If you haven't taught your children because you had to teach them how to use the bathroom, you had to teach them how to not bite their siblings. And if you don't have kids, you say, not me. Well, you've taught your cat or you've taught your dog. We all teach. But some of you have been given a gift to excel in teaching. You have the ability to make something that is murky clear. You have the ability to see it in context and be able to understand the parameters for where something is at. Because once scripture, the promises of God, get outside of context and outside of what someone who received it in their day, it loses its power. Because you're claiming promises that aren't your promises. And so it's a gift to be able to do that. I discovered this gift. I thought that I had it. I wanted to be involved in ministry. As a young teenager, I had people telling me that they saw God's hand on my life. I'll talk a little bit more about that here in the future. But when I was in the Foursquare church, that's where I married Lisa. I had met her in an extremely charismatic church. And once I got to know her a little bit and we finally got together, which took some doing, not because of me, but because of her, she let me know at one point that we were very good friends. And I had to overcome that. But we were both at the church there and we were married by this point. The pastor of the church from the Foursquare church had married us. And she put an application into the Sunday school and began to teach five-year-olds. This is a need they had. And so I put my application in as well. She filled it out, I filled it out. And they needed a junior high, seventh, eighth, and ninth grade at that time. They needed someone to teach junior high. And so I said, I'll do it. And so I got to be Chuck Smith to those kids because I'd listened to the Bible through the Bible with Pastor Chuck. And I tried, well, okay, so when I get there, first of all, they have Sunday school material they're going through. And so I tried to do that for a couple weeks. And I realized this isn't good for junior high kids. They need just to be getting into the word. So I go to the Sunday school director and I say, I really would like to just go through the book of Mark with them. Would you let me do that? And so they said, sure, you can go through the book of Mark. So I was able to put the Sunday school material aside, even though they had let me know that they paid for it already. So it would go unused. And I started teaching them the word. Now, I tried to be like Chuck Smith. The thing about Pastor Chuck, if you listen to him, I think he's on Reach Radio at noon, I think, still. Pastor Chuck's gone to be with the Lord in 2013. But Pastor Chuck was very slow when he talked. I get twice or three times the words in that Pastor Chuck got in. I would turn on the radio in Albuquerque, and there would be silence on the air, and I would go, Pastor Chuck. Dead air was Pastor Chuck. And then he would come in. Well, the rapture is global. One will be taken in the daytime. The other will be taken at night. And I tried to teach like that to the kids, but I had to learn to be myself. And when I left, the relationships that I had with the kids from teaching them through the Bible was powerful and something I wanted to do more. And I believe that if you begin to teach, if you begin to look around you, if you see whether you have that gift, you will be blessed by it. You'll have the ability to be able to meet them. It's not that it was always good. It's not that every kid paid attention, because they didn't. But it's that there were those who were being touched and that God was moving in. There were those that I saw who really wanted to serve God. Out of my youth group that was in Calvary, Albuquerque, by the time we went to Calvary, I became a youth pastor in Calvary, Albuquerque, before I was encouraged to skip to come out and start the church here, Pastor Skip Heitzik. One of the kids that was in my group became the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Roswell. I ran into another one in Albuquerque, I don't know, it's 10 years ago now, but seeing them and having them thank me and still be encouraged by sharing with them as a youth pastor, what a powerful thing to be a part of. Now, the fourth gift is where we start. We've talked about all the others, but we start with exhortation. That's encouragement. And again, we should all be encouragers. We should all look to encourage people. There is no spiritual gift of discouragement. Although I think people will discourage sometimes more than they will encourage. God wants you to encourage people in Christ, to encourage people to continue to do what they do. They say that for every discouraging word you hear, you have to have 10 encouraging words to make up for it. Now, I don't think that's scientific, but I understand what the statement is saying. I know what it's like to be discouraged by someone, and I know what it's like to be encouraged by someone. And I can tell you that the discouragement will last sometimes for days. The encouragement will wear off within hours. And so we want to be those who encourage. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Exhort one another. Look to encourage each other in Christ. You can't do that if you don't know people. One of the things about the gift of encouragement is you have to know people to be able to encourage them. You have to have a relationship with them. You've got to go out of your way. And sometimes we don't get to know people because when we got to know people, people hurt us. And so you let that hurt keep you from developing relationships. The hurt life is an isolated life. And it ends up being tragic in the end. Be willing to be hurt. You're going to be hurt. You want to be a pastor? Are you fairly young? You want to be a pastor? Oh, you're going to get hurt. People are going to say things about you. Somebody gave me a Charles Swindoll tape in very early days. Charles Swindoll was talking to pastors in the tape. 1 Peter chapter 5. He said something that really spoke to me. He said, "If you don't have thick skin, don't be a pastor. Go find something else to do. You got to have the skin of a rhinoceros." So much like Charles Swindoll. In order to be a pastor, you got to have a duck's back. Water has to roll off your back. Insults have to roll off your back. But how those words of encouragement speak to me and help me. Now, there's a danger in encouragement. There's a danger when people tell you that they really love you and how great a message is, because you could begin to believe it. You could begin to believe you're someone special. And the next thing you know, you have pride. Sometimes there's a lesson from God in the discouragement. Sometimes God's doing a work to keep you where you need to be in the midst of it, because pride is so incredibly dangerous. The church had begun to expand when Stephen was martyred. Before that, it had just grown in Jerusalem. But when Stephen was martyred and a persecution came from Saul of Tarsus, who would become Paul the apostle, there was a pressure that came to the church, and the church spread. People went out everywhere fleeing the persecution. And they went to a place called Antioch. Antioch is on the coast of the Mediterranean, up north of where Jerusalem is. If you go from Jerusalem to the coast, you get to a city named Caesarea Maritima, which is Caesarea by the sea. It was a Roman city. It's where Pilate, of course, kept his office. It's where the governor kept their office, on the shore of the Mediterranean. You go up the coast, you go past Lebanon, and you get up into the area right underneath Turkey, and there's a place called Antioch. And there were a bunch of Gentile Hellenists, people who lived as Greeks, who were Gentile, who came to the Lord. And then in Acts 11, 22, it says, the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And he came and he had seen the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Now the name Barnabas means son of encouragement. And every time we see him, he is encouraging someone. God is using him as an example that you and I would be Barnabas. And he becomes a good example of someone who is multi-gifted, because we'll see that Barnabas had another gift as well that was used. But Barnabas had the great ability to encourage. When he got to Antioch, he thought, I need someone to help me. I can't do this by myself. Paul had been sent away by the church in Jerusalem because everywhere Paul went, there was a battle that happened. And so they took him and they sent him away. And the Bible says after they sent Paul away, they had peace in Jerusalem. He was like, some just stirred people up. And for about 8 years, God didn't use Paul. I think they were times of him making tents, times of him reading scriptures, and committing to God, just doing the work locally that God had called him to do. And so Barnabas thought, Saul, I need to go Saul hunting. And that's how the Greek puts it. Barnabas went Saul hunting and he found him in Tarsus, his hometown. And he encouraged him to come with him to Antioch and minister to the body. And Paul became one of the great ministers of the first century. Paul wrote 13 of the books that we have. And it started by Barnabas saying, come with me, Paul. Come to Antioch. Help these new believers grow. You might not be the one called to go do something, but you might be called to encourage the one who's gonna go and do it. You might be the person that is always just lifting someone up and looking for that opportunity. I told you in the beginning of this, so you're gonna find gifts that you want. Gifts that you want to use. Encouragement is one of them, that you are gifted. All of us need to be encouragers, but some of you are gifted in it, that you can just encourage people. I'm so thankful for the men that encouraged me in my life to go out and do the work God called me to do. I'm so thankful for Skip Heitzig, who is the one who sent us out, who planted this church from Calvary Albuquerque in Tucson, because he encouraged me. Other men in my life that encouraged me to serve God and live for him, that came alongside and helped me. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12 says, as you know how to exhort and comfort and charge every one of you, as the Father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Like we encourage our children. We encourage them because we love them and we want good things for them. So we encourage them. Sometimes we encourage them to get a job and pull up your pants. Or more better encouragement than that. Exhortation strengthens hearts and pushes the church further in what God has called it to do. And if you're an encourager that's on the sidelines, we need you in the game. We need you encouraging because we need it to be able to do the work that God's called us to do.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio. 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text Ready for Jesus to 94,000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
If you are listening locally in the Tucson area and you have a school-aged child, we'd love for you to come find out more about Calvary Christian School, where we love God, love people, and love out loud. At CCS, teachers disciple students to become more like Jesus, arming them with a biblical worldview grounded in God's Word. Calvary Christian School is duly accredited, and our teachers and staff are focused on ministering to the heart of each and every student while challenging them both academically and spiritually. And thanks to scholarships provided by the state of Arizona, most students attend for little to no cost. For more information on our K-12 classes or to schedule a tour, look us up online at Calvary Christian School Tucson.